The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
They were singing that song, "I know that you are for me, I know that you're with me, even if it's to come down to write upon my heart just who you are." And I don't know. Whew. I don't know about you, but I'm just taken back with that. And the way it hits me is it causes me to realize that intimacy with God is just really a part of being truly human. You know, if we really were to think about it, that God created us in his image and his likeness. He created us to relate to us, to have fellowship with us. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. I don't know. I get to thinking about that, and I think all those, I was an unbeliever for 21 years, and those first 21 years of my life, that after I became a believer, I wondered how I ever made it before. How did I live this life without even having the knowledge of God? And so it really connected me to who he was, and it made me realize that part of knowing God and being acquainted with God is a part of being truly human. You know, we have been, and to think about it, his desire has not changed. Think about the times that you could be driving a car, you could be working, you could be painting, you could be doing a variety of things. You could be in his word, a song could be on the radio, and all of a sudden you're moved. And you know that it's God. I tell you, to that very experience just blows me away. And at the same time, that very experience brings so many realities to my life about who he is and what he's done and why that matters in my life. Robert's words. That is so, so very good. We have been invited into this relationship with God through what Jesus has done for us. So now, what a privilege. We're children of God. We are part of the family of God, part of the body of Christ, and each of us gifted in particular ways as he draws us together and brings us together, that we help one another to grow into the body that he's asking us to become and wants us to become and sees us to become and desires us to become. That is so good. Well, I was thinking that, you know, if you begin to get online, you just begin to start surfing the net, and you started looking at churches, missional church, however you want to say it, missional churches, gospel-centered churches, and you begin to look at their mission statement, you'd quickly discover that there are some similarities. There would be similarities with every one of them, every one of them. Again, I qualified a little bit here, you know, gospel-centered churches. And they would revolve around this. They'd revolve around the Great Commission. They would be about winning, growing, and sending people to the world around them, bringing the gospel to the world around them. And I think that having a mission statement or understanding the mission of God for our life, I think it's good because it, you know, in short, I think it kind of helps us have some marching orders. Like we're just not here haphazardly, don't know what to do, don't know what God's up to, don't know what God wants out of our lives. But I think as you read through the scriptures, there are some basic things that I think are pretty clear. And you know me, I don't like getting into the weeds, but I like to keep things simple. If we could keep the simple things, it could be kind of like road signs, you know, kind of if you're traveling and You know, it's going to just keep you on course. And it's in some ways, too, it's kind of like having these handles that you can hang on to. They're simple. They're simple that you can just know that they can be in you, that they can cause you to reflect and to know the simple things that God is asking out of our life. I think we need to understand that God is on mission. And because we're created in His image, we're His child, we're a part of God's mission. We are a part of what God is doing in the world. So, you know, it's obvious to me, God wants us to know Him, to know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and that He has a purpose for our life. And so here at Cross Life, you know, we have a mission statement, we have these simple handles that hopefully cause us to be reflective. They cause us to be focused on what God is calling us to do. And I thought that I would do this maybe a little bit differently than I had before. Hopefully, it's a little more helpful. So here's the way it hits me. So there are three main things that really anchor us. And that's our mission statement. And there are six core values, or six what we call non-negotiables. The reason we chose non-negotiables over core values is because we just can't really move on these. These are no ifs, ands, or about it. These are important, and these in our heart, in our mind, are first and foremost. Not to say that they're not anything other that's not important, but these simple things will help us. And there's six of them. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, if you look at this, and here's something I've not communicated before that I want to be clear about. If you look at this, this is bad. That's not very good. But so these three vertical things, mission statement, anchors, these six core values that are cross pieces on these three main things form a trellis. Now, the thing that we need to understand about a trellis is a trellis helps support and display what is growing on it. It doesn't make the vine or the plant grow. It displays and supports. So the reality of this and the reality of what God has called us to do is not that we're putting everything on that, but we're understanding that it is a structure, it is a system that helps support. So we need to know it's not about the trellis. What I'm talking to you today, it's not like, whoo, that's awesome, and it's all about that. It's not all about that. It's all about what is growing. And what is growing is the vine. What is growing is the body. And the vine grows, or the plant grows, because it's been planted. We don't plant. God plants. We water. Understand that. So let me just, if I can, just kind of help us see this a little bit. I kind of want to walk through it. So we are here. Our mission statement is, we exist to help people find Christ, their place in the body, the mission of the world. I just want to qualify. We are here to primary. We are here to help people find. And the long and short of that is, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can do this. You can help others. You can help people find, and the three things are, so we're here to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world around them. And I just kind of want to talk through these a little bit and give some body to this, and I've done this so often. But I think that we need to realize this idea of helping others. We've been helped, and we're here to help others find, to discover, to learn, to notice, to realize Christ, their place in His body, and their mission of the world. And really, long and short of it, this is just discipleship 101. Discipleship is all about helping others follow Christ, to find and follow, to discover who Jesus is and what he's done and why that matters. It's about living this life out together as a body of believers. It's about sharing our lives and things that God has helped us see and his word to help others so that they can help see stuff, so they can help growing and they can be helped continually following Jesus. And, you know, we complicate that because we think we got to have a classroom setting, and in 6 weeks we go through it and you get your diploma. Discipleship, I am a disciple of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. So as long as I am living, I should be following. So this discipleship thing, this learning and growing thing, is never anything that I arrive at. It's something I keep walking into. That's important because I'm looking here, Paul and Nelda and Ed and Lynn, you guys have been doing this a while, and as long as you live, you got to keep doing this. You didn't graduate. Graduation, so we all get excited about graduation, but graduation of the kingdom of God is dun, 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 death. But then it's life. What a wonderful thing to think about. I don't know about you, but it really doesn't matter how old you are. It really doesn't matter what condition you are. As long as you got a brain and you can function and you can think, you can pray, you can advance, you can model, you can exemplify what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And hopefully I don't get old and senile and, you know, I got to have my kids take care of me and change my pants. That'd be awful. I'd just as soon die. But the reality is I am going to get old. I'm not going to be able to run my 10 miles a day like I do today. What y'all laughing about? That video game is awesome. I mean, I can run 10 minutes in no time at all. Catch the bad guys. So let me just, you know, this idea of finding Christ, you know, there is this idea of salvation that people need to understand that created an image and likeness of God, and sin separated humanity. And now, since that time that humanity fell, God has been about restoring humanity to himself, and his final act of restoration was with Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross, paid the payment, the only payment that could take care of the sin that was so offensive to God, that his blood would cover us, it would remove our sin, that so we could be in the sight of God as having never sinned, that we could be in relationship with God. Woo-hoo! Salvation. But there is so much more. Salvation is like just kicking open the door. It is like step one, because there is this discovery process that we are in as his children, and that never stops. So young people, look at your mom or dad, and you know what? They may be smart. They may be doing it right, but they, just so you know and I know, okay, everybody that's young, look at me, you got moms and dads. They only know like this much, just that much, because they're so much more, so much more to learn and determine who Jesus is. I told you some time back that when I became a believer, and after probably maybe the first 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I felt like God had helped me really see who he was and what he'd done and why that mattered. It was almost like a sketch, a pencil sketch. And then in about 10 years, some transformation took place in my life. God began to show up in a different way, and he put color and shading and definition to what I knew. And I'm in it again. As I've been reading through the Bible again, God is just saying stuff to me I've never thought about, I've never seen before. He's enlarging the intimacy of me with him, and he's showing me things that he's just bringing more vivid in my life. So I, like your parents, only know this little bit, but I'm learning. And so you know this little bit, but this little bit is enough. And as you keep striving, as you keep seeking, God will help you see a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more. I don't know about you, but to think, okay, you're going to go, and in 2 years, you got it all. You're good to go. Do whatever you want. Live however you want. You got it. That is not Christianity. And so people, let me take a little sidebar. I was sitting in a coffee shop in Orlando about a month or so ago. I had a meeting, and I got there early so that I could beat the traffic. I'm sitting there with coffee, and I had a young lady and an older lady sitting by the table next to me, and she was talking about her understanding. She was in a particular religion and was talking about her understanding of what it meant to be, she would probably never term this, but what it meant to have this relationship with God. And it had nothing to do about intimacy. It had check boxes about doing stuff. And through her conversation, I knew she had no knowledge of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So this idea of bringing people and helping people discover really the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done and why it matters, that's huge. When I think about that, I think about the book of Psalms. You know that there's more, so much more to know, so much more to learn. And to me, whenever I read through Psalms, it's like this loud voice of those that have gone before me reminding me and causing me to focus on that very fact. God is way bigger than we could ever think. There is way more to know about him than we could ever know. And so I quickly just scan through. And I just got a few because I think I need to say them. I want to. This is fun. Psalms chapter 1 just really begins saying, blessed is the one who finds, and I've paraphrased this, so if this isn't in your translation, this is mine. I haven't written it yet, so it can't be published. Blessed is the one who finds his pleasure and joy in the things of God. That one, well. He will be like a tree, large, strong, always fruitful, receiving what he needs when he needs it. See, that one, the Lord watches over throughout the whole course of his life. It says that the Lord watches over him, and that translation specifically is Jehovah. See, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, watches over the whole course of his life. You know, sometimes we get following Jesus, we've received Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, and, you know, life goes on, and somewhere he seems like he moved. Or maybe we feel like we've moved. And we think that God doesn't know, God doesn't see, God doesn't care. Can I just say that is not true? My Bible tells me, I think it's Ephesians, it says that he is, didn't have this plan that's coming up, and it's only coming up, percolating about halfway up. It says, in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Translating that is God is always at high noon. He never casts a shadow. That means he never moves. He never moves. And you know what? We could be just doing plain stupid. He still doesn't move. He's a God who is there. He sees us. He knows us. And all that God is doing in our life, through the good, the bad, the ugly of our life, through our foolishness and through our wisdom, God is just drawing us to himself. And I think we need to understand that because he is the one that when you came to him, you received him as Savior. He is Jehovah God, that God that keeps covenant with you, that God that is a shield and a defender to you, that God that is a strong tower that keeps you away from keeps you safe from your enemy. He is the one who's a healer, a provider, a shepherd who is present and gives us peace. See, why is it important to know past salvation? We need to really discover who Jesus is. And as you have discovered him, you have the opportunity to help others discover him. And how do you discover him? Through his word, through life, through experiences, through ups and downs, all of it. you find that he does not move. Thank you, Lord. I like that. I move. I feel sometimes like I'm that ball in the pinball machine just being bounced off whatever I run into. But that's not a reality. Psalms 32 says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Because God said that he will instruct that one. He will teach him in the way he will go, and he will constantly watch over his life. Psalms 34 says this, that we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusts in him. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The righteous call. The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord is near to them that are brokenhearted, and he saves those who have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Listen, this, what I'm saying to you, is not hype. I don't know. I didn't look back, but if David wrote all these or not. But I can tell you, when he's penning it, or if he's saying it, he is not saying it like this. Oh, well, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, he is going, whoo! Oh, hey, taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to know because of the relationship that David had, because God made himself known to him. Here's what we need to do. The next time God just kind of comes, just relish in it. Just receive it. Don't walk away from it. For me, when I have my devotions, when I have my time in the mornings, whenever I have my times, I've learned to do something. I heard, that God just talked to me about this a long time ago. Remember when Joshua used to go up? He used to go with Moses into the mountain, and it says that Moses would then leave, and it says, but Joshua, Moses' young aide, would linger a little longer before the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me. He says, Tracy, here's what I want you to do. You do your study time, and when you think you're done, stay a little longer. Sometimes I don't get a thing, but a lot of times I get something. I can't put my finger on it, but I get something. It's almost like he just kind of sticks it in there. Maybe it's not that he sticks it in there, but sometimes I just sense that he just pushes something away from me. See, for us to understand that we exist to help people discover who God is. Psalms 84 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord, whose heart is in his ways. When they go through dry places, he makes it rain. I just began to cruise through this thinking about it, and I had a time all by myself, and I was having a lot more fun than y'all having fun, because to me, I know these things. I know these verses. I've read these verses 100 times, but they were fresh this morning. They were truth this morning. They were reminders again this morning. When they sang that song, God, even if you come just to write upon my heart to remind me who you are, what a blessing that is. What a favor that is for God to realize God, very God, creator of the heavens and earth, knows you, touches your life, assures you that he's real. No matter how minute that might be in your life, here's what I can say. If you will pursue him a little more, you'll get a little more. Pursue him a little more than that, you get a little more than that. Pursue him a lot more than that, you get a lot more than that. Well, Tracy, that's easy for you. We pay you to do that. Listen, I could quit today and go to work digging dirt somewhere, and I'm still going to spend lots of time in that. I'm going to still seek. I'm going to still search. Why? Because, woo, I get what he's given. Oh, two people agree with me. I'm going to go find a Pentecost church to preach at. They'll be going, yeah, go, Pastor. So when you walk through dire places, he makes it rain and he satisfies you. You go from strength to strength, and everyone in that place gets to see God. Blessed is the one even who the Lord disciplines, because he teaches him through his law and he helps him stay the course where it is calm when troubles come. I like this. I sent this to my buddy this morning, Psalms 112, first few verses. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the one that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed will be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his home, and his righteousness will endure forever. Verse 4, I love this. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Man. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Thank you, Lord. Better stop. See, we're here to help people find Christ. That's why scripture engagement is so very important to me. That's why scripture engagement is so very important to us as a leadership. That's why scripture engagement should be so very important for us as the people of God. Because we need to know God's word so that we can know it for ourselves, experience it, and have that opportunity to share with others. Secondly, we are here to help people find their place in the body. Now, if we understand from Psalms 139, 14 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, from 1 Corinthians 12:12 that we are members of the body of Christ in particular, each one of the uniquenesses about each one of us, and that God has set the members of the body, every one of them, as it has pleased him, and that each of us have a particular gift to the body to help it grow, each one of us have a part to play. So we help people to become aware of their giftedness in the body. I asked a bunch of you this morning, I walked up to you just cold turkey, and I said, hey, what's your gift? What do you think your spiritual gift is? And I had people telling me what was to serve. Some said it was help. Some said it was administration. Some said it was teaching. Tom said he had the gift of jumping to conclusions. Or it was criticism. Somebody else jumped to conclusions. I don't know who it was. But here's what we need to have some realization about. And some of you went up. Because I just really caught you off guard with that, like there was a right and a wrong answer. And you know, one of the things that thrilled me was to say, well, I believe it's service. I believe it's helps. And then when I pressed a little bit further, I said, well, talk to me about service. What do you mean service? Well, I mean like service in, what do you do? What do you love to do when you serve? Oh, I like organizing and putting things in place. Well, that's a gift of administration. And somebody else, well, what was that? Well, it's in compassion or mercy. When I'm really serving and I'm working in these areas, that just really fulfills my life. You know, if you were to ask yourself, God, how have you gifted me? It's pretty simple. We did some years ago a spiritual gifting test, and some people take that a couple different ways. They go, oh, it's fun. Let's see what I am, and then I'll be that. And other ones go, don't try and pigeonhole me. Matter of fact, I don't even like being that. So that's wad up the paper, throw it away. I don't like that. But I think a simple way is to ask your spouse, ask your kids, ask coworkers, because it'll naturally come out of you. And it doesn't have to be this big thing. Whatever it is in your life, I've told you many times, I feel like my primary spiritual gifting is encouragement. Sorry to let you down. So, lastly, it is the third of the stakes that we plant is that we help people find their mission to the world. See, we are salt and light. Salt and light to the world around us. We are ministers of reconciliation. I like how one translation says it. It says, God was in us making peace between the world and himself. Well, in Christ, God didn't hold people guilty for their sins. And he gave us the message of peace to tell other people. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. It's like God is calling people through us. So we speak for Christ. And when we beg you to be at peace with God. Each and every one of us have a part to play, not only in the body, but in the world around us. We are, the Bible says, in here, it says we're ambassadors, we're representatives. And just like the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends us. You know, when I get to thinking about this, you know, we're here to help people find Christ, their place in the body, their mission in the world. So if you were to say, well, Tracy, I don't know if I'll remember that. Try to remember this. We are here to look up through the scriptures. We're here to look up, finding Christ. We're here to look in, self-awareness. God, who am I and how have you wired me? We're here to look out to the world around us. So if you can't remember, we're here to help people find Christ, their place in the body of the mission world. Just think, well, we're here to help people look up, to see who God is, to look in, to see how God has wired them and made them apart. We're here to look out, to let everybody know that they have this mission to play. Another way to think about this is that we have been invited. We've been invited into the body of Christ, into the kingdom of God. We have our part to play, and we have a purpose. And it's obvious as we go through the scriptures, those things just keep, they just keep popping out as we go. Now, let me just speak briefly. So this idea about knowing God, knowing ourselves, knowing that we've been called to the world around us, we have a part, we have a place, we have this purpose, we've been invited into this. Again, this is not about the trellis, it's about the vine. This is just a framework where we support. Now, our core values, our six core values are God's Word, prayer. It's about having a kingdom focus. It is about people, and it is about unity, spiritual unity, and it is about God's presence. Let me just kind of run through this real quick. I'm not going to define these. We're going to begin to look at these six things over the next weeks, not in our messages, but kind of tandem to it, really kind of elaborating a little bit more. But if we're in the Word and we're in prayer, we're intimacy with God, we're going to understand that we're part of the kingdom of God, and part of the kingdom of God is the harvest. It's about people. And what happens there is God brings us as a people into this spiritual unity through His presence, through His showing up. See, when God shows up, what He does is cause unity among His people, helping them understand, extend the kingdom through an intimacy with Him through prayer and the Word. That's what we need to just, we just need to, it just needs to go poof in our life. So if you say, Tracy, yeah, I don't understand anything. You know, I'm saved. No, well, there's more to that term about being saved. We are in this process of becoming. And we really, Tracy, why in the world is this even important? Because we are here. We exist. Listen, let me back up again. The trellis is not important. Not like the vine. It's all about what God has planted. We're trying to figure out simple ways that we can bring to the forefront so that we can help support and display what God is doing. See, if you're gifted in particular ways and I know about it, this is my first question to you. Talk to me a little bit more about that. What would that look like? See, through all this, it's this idea of up, in, and out, this idea of finding Christ, our place in the body, and our mission in the world, this idea of inviting, being a part, and having a purpose, causes me to just roll some stuff around in my mind. And, you know, for years I've been saying, you know, we really need to figure out what God has called us to the community and world around us with. And, you know, we've been spending a lot of time on scripture engagement. We talked some about what is your giftedness in the body, but I'm coming to this place where I'm thinking, you know what? I think if we just start doing more of this mission, we start getting outside the four walls of the church, we start doing whatever it is that God is helping us to do, we'll discover more about how God has wired us, and we'll beginning to learn more from the scriptures, because when we're out there, we're going to know that we need God to do whatever is going on out there, because it's not us, it's Him. So as we as a body are collected together, we as a body, as we worship together, if we could remember what God has called us to and the things that are important about that, it will help us navigate. It will help us become strong. It will help us help one another. When you're in life groups, you know, the perfect place to grow and disciple people is one-on-one, spending time with people. I do that. Well, I got a bunch of guys that I meet with, and I meet with guys individually, and I spend my time with them, and it's not me discipling them. It's us discipling one another. It's us learning from one another. I've never thought, here, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Let me tell you what I know. It's not how that works, because everybody that we encounter knows something about Jesus and has experienced something that we might not have that can help us see. So life groups is a great place where we can get to know one another. We can see giftedness. We can share ideas and share passions, what God is doing in our hearts and lives. That can happen here as well. See, I think that we need to get about the Father's business. I think we need to be moving forward in what God has called us to do so that we can continue to discover in God's calling us what to do. We're going to discover a little bit more about maybe what He's given us to be able to do it. Does that make sense? Or it kind of makes sense, but it's vague. If you were anywhere on the face of the earth, I think these are three things that the Lord would begin to say to you. Look, I've invited you to know me, and I've invited you to help others to know me. And I've really gifted you in particular ways to be able to do that. I didn't give you nothing. I give you something. I give you tools so that you can do what I'm asking of you, not inside these four walls primarily, but outside these four walls where you live, work, and play.